Do you guys ever like notice all those bags on the side of the road? And you ever think, wonder if that's a dead body? Hi,
I was gonna make a song,
welcome to Poor Decisions.
but that was one way to do it.
Yeah, I was thinking about. I had to drive yesterday, so that's what I was thinking about.
Sometimes I wonder if I put stuff on the top shelf in the kitchen, so you can reach it.
I can never reach it. I usually use a spatula.
Mystery solved.
Yeah,
dead
that's a poor
body.
decision for you to put things on the top shelf.
I like it. It's fun.
You do that shit on, that's why I found a lower shelf to put my shit in. That's why one time you were trying to put like my can of olives on the very top shelf, and I was like, whoa, 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 buddy.
Yeah,
she we ain't
said,
doing that.
Don't touch
Don't
those
you
olives.
fuck with my olives.
I wanted to throw them on the ground.
You son of a bitch. Microsoft went down 5 points. That's from Big Daddy. Do you remember that?
No.
I swear to God. Anyways, we're actually drinking this time, guys. I mean, I was drinking last time.
Yeah, she was drinking.
I was drinking.
And I was sipping.
I've been drinking for a while today.
But now we both drinking.
What you drinking?
It's super weird. Michelada.
It's a craft beer michelada.
She explains it that way because it's hers.
Well, I got it.
It was $9.
I almost said Bed Bath & Beyond. I'm tired. Got it at, what's it called? BevMo.
It was $9 for four.
I think it was 6-pack.
I drank
two of them. Oh, it was a 4-pack. I found these very tall can White Claws. Like a white girl. Black Cherry White Claw.
Yeah.
It's, how many ounces is this? I don't think you guys really
24
care.
24 ounces.
3.2 fluid ounces. That doesn't seem
That's
like a lot.
Right. We
is
don't
that
know.
Not, not a lot? I don't know. It looks like a giant
it's
White
a
Claw.
It's a whole liter.
Liter cola. We're a mess. Anyways, welcome back to our show.
Yeah, welcome us back.
Welcome back, Alicia.
Because we did not do anything last week.
No. You know, life is busy.
Life was busy.
We have a lot of shit. We are adults. We have real jobs, guys.
We have jobs.
We don't get paid for this shit.
We spend our time trying on dresses.
Well, you do.
I tried on dresses. She
watched,
me.
I took a lot of videos.
I spun around in circles.
It was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was fun.
You guys missed the whole thing.
What's your poor decision this week?
Dude, I don't even know.
Going with me to try on dresses?
I don't even know if I have a poor decision this week just because I've been so busy and there's been so much stuff going on.
Wearing jeans to a hot baby shower.
Yeah, I went to a baby shower yesterday and it was so great to see my friends, but it was so fucking hot.
Yeah.
I melted. I think me and my jeans became one. Like the jeans are a part of me
They're
now.
They're still on you. I can see them.
I had it. Pull them off.
Yeah. Mine was putting a Diet Pepsi in the a freezer and leaving
I'm
it there overnight.
So sad
it
I
exploded
this.
Everywhere.
That's so funny.
Still in there.
I really didn't clean
well,
it up?
I took the can out.
It's probably a nice slushy now.
Yeah.
Scrape it off the edges and put it in the cup.
Sometimes people marinate their meat in Pepsi.
The
so
meat's
really,
not open, guys.
I'm doing Garrett a favor.
Yeah.
It's pre-marinated.
Pre-marinated cow. Pepsi meat.
Pepsi cow.
Sounds delicious. Hashtag Pepsi cow. You got a dingus of the week for us today?
I sure do.
Tell us about it. I want to know everything.
There was a police officer in Indianapolis.
Started going south.
He frequents McDonald's.
Yeah.
Often he gets a McChicken.
Mm-hmm.
And on this specific day.
Cheese or no cheese?
Last week. I don't give a fuck. Cheese, cheese. It's his business.
I want to know
Maybe
his business.
Maybe he's lactose.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe that's what the story's about.
His
don't know
poor
yet.
Decision was getting cheese on his
yeah.
McChicken.
Actually.
Spicy McChicken.
He bought a McChicken.
Uh-huh.
He went to work, and he said that when he opened the fridge to get his McChicken out, there was several small bites taken.
Those little
and
fucking
he said,
bitches.
Yep. He said the McDonald's employees, they know I'm a police officer. And they bit my sandwich.
Because I want a goddamn liter of cola.
No, so they offered him a bunch of free stuff, and he's like, I don't want it.
Oh, that was so creepy. You guys.
That was our Echo talking to us, which is our Amazon Alexa. Anyway, so they offered the police officer a bunch of stuff, and he's like, I don't want any of the stuff. I just want the people reprimanded who bit my sandwich. And then they did an investigation, and he was like, okay. I did it, guys.
Just kidding.
I bit my own sandwich.
That's so stupid.
Yeah.
What an idiot. Did he get in trouble? Jackums, we have a ghost.
They're still investigating.
We have a ghost, you guys. Ah, scary ghost. You guys, we're not sure if there's a ghost in this house.
But there might be.
There might be. Jack kind of lost his shit a couple of times. So if you hear, disclosure, if you hear any chomping in the background, it's just Jack eating his bone.
Now he's scared of being in the other room alone.
Yeah. He's scared of a ghost.
Also, Alexa responded to
it. That wasn't even Alexa. It was the freaking boombox, dude.
Oh, the boombox.
It was like, goodbye. And I was like, okay, yeah, goodbye.
That spirit the fuck out of here, bro.
He's like, goodbye.
Jack wished him farewell, too.
Jack was like, get on out of here.
Fuck out of our house.
Fuck out of my house.
This is my house.
Not up in here.
Not in my house.
Yeah, so we're alive.
We are alive.
For now. We're recording this on Sunday the 28th, so.
We got stories. My tombiversary.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to get to that in later.
Sorry, Lime Wedge.
Lime Wedge. Yeah. Anyways. We'll get to that later.
Spoiler.
Spoiler alert, motherfuckers. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I think it's story time. Okay, folks, buckle up. Get your popcorn out.
Because she got a long ass story.
Yeah. So I'm just going to apologize ahead of time because it's a very long story. It's not necessarily funny. It's not funny. But I thought it was like super fascinating. So.
There's a fast forward button. You'll find it on the app.
If you don't like it, you can just fuck right off. I even put that in my notes.
Or you can just fast forward because I have a great story.
I said that too. I said maybe just skip to Alicia's story. But just know, we ain't friends if you do.
But just know, she won't know.
I won't know unless I confront you and be like, hey, remember that story? Did you take any notes on my notes?
July 28th, can you check your notebook?
Yeah, you sons of bitches.
Do you have notes on my notes?
You got notes on my notes?
I got notes on my notes.
Anyhow, so I decided to do the story because I remember, like, covering it in my psychology class in high school. I think it was, like, a junior or senior. Shout out to Mr. Kinsley, Johnswood High School. What? That was super, super stupid. Anyway. So we watched this documentary, and it's called The Stanford Prison Experiment. Mm. So any of you, like, psychology nerds out there probably have already heard of it.
I've seen it.
Did you? Mm-hmm. You saw it? Mm-hmm. Fuck. Really?
It's okay. You saw the last one.
Son of a bitch. It's true.
Don't worry. I won't spoil it.
But, like, so there's a Hollywood movie now. Or Hollywood movie. Did you watch that? It's, okay. It's kind of nerdy just because whoever did their costumes did a very terrible job with the mustaches.
Mustaches can make or break it.
Bro, it's very clear they're fake as fuck. Yeah. And the wigs are just very terrible. Yeah. Anyways, I'm going to set the mood now.
Mood is set. Fake stashes.
Okay, right. August 14th, 1971.
Okay.
Back in the day. Lots of cool mustaches and hair. Stanford University, a research group led by psychology professor Philip Zimbardo, started on what was supposed to be a 2-week social experiment.
14 days.
The experiment was an attempt to investigate the psychological effects of perceived power, focusing on the struggles between prisoners and correctional officers. And again, I don't know why I put in this notes again, but it was 14 days it was supposed to be. The volunteers were randomly assigned to be either guards or prisoners in a mock prison with Zimbardo himself serving as the superintendent. The decisions to be guard or prisoner were all by a flip of a coin. Dang. So they're like, oh, there's a picture of this guy. Let's flip a coin. Okay. If it's heads, then he's a prisoner. If it's tails, then he's a guard, which is it's all super random.
Very fair.
Yeah. The volunteers were super aware of the experiment. They knew it was going to be a 2-week prison simulation. Okay. Like it was explained to them. 24 applicants were chosen, and now we have a ghost again. 24 applicants were chosen, all of which had test results that predicted that they would be the most psychologically stable and healthy. None of them had criminal backgrounds or psychological impairments or medical problems.
Well, that's good.
I know. And they all agreed to...
shit's about to go down.
Fucking down, bro. They all agreed to participate, and they got about $15 per day. And that's $15 per day. And they're, like, students and stuff, so whatever. But it's equivalent to 94 per day in 2018. Oh, that's so shitty. That's like not a lot of money.
That's so pretty shitty.
You were probably very hungry or something. I don't know.
They're like, free food, we'll take it. Oh,
fuck, I just lost my page.
We'll take it.
Okay. So the mock jail was created in the basement of the psychology building at Stanford. It was like a 35-foot area, which I guess is kind of big, but for like 9 prisoners. Yeah. I don't know. They boarded up each end of the corridor, and that made it like the yard of the prison. And then they also like made little prison cells. So they just like remade the doors to look like prison doors.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Let's see. And there was also, like, cameras and everything throughout the prison so that, like, people on the other end, like, the psychology people could see everything that was going on. To get close as possible to the feel of a prison, they called upon the help of some professionals, a.k.a. people that had experience firsthand.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. One of them was a former prisoner who had served close to 17 years behind bars. They also were introduced to a number of ex-cons and correctional personnel to just, you know, make sure it felt like a real prison. So 12 of the 24 participants were assigned the role of prisoner, and the other 12 were assigned the role of guard. Each role had 3 potential substitutes. So there was technically like 9 of each.
Just in case.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And then Zimbardo himself took the role of superintendent, and then a research assistant took the role of a warden.
Okay.
Yeah. So he designed the experiment in order to induce disorientation, dispersonalization, and deindividualization.
Okay.
It's a very long word. In the participants. And
Breaking down.
He was very successful, and you will see. And the dog keeps barking because there's still a ghost here.
Yeah.
So.
Or a tweaker.
Or a tweaker.
Just like
under a tweaker ghost. Yeah. A ghost tweaker.
Like eating the cat food we put out there.
Oh my god. What if we caught one?
I don't want to catch.
We should put little raccoon traps out there.
No. I don't want to catch a tweaker. What do you do with that?
You give it to animal control.
I don't think they'll take it. Then you just kidnapped a person.
Is it kidnapped? I guess it would be today.
Well, a doll nap.
Well, they're the idiots that went into the raccoon trap.
Doesn't matter.
It's a raccoon trap.
Mm. Email us your thoughts.
Yeah, you tell us. Okay, will I need a drink of my wine. Will we go to jail?
I think we will.
Yeah. Email us to let us know if we'll get to jail. If we go to jail, maybe we'll go to a mock prison.
I don't think so. I think it'll be real.
Mm-hmm.
If we catch a tweaker, we're in trouble.
Or they are. I don't know. Hmm.
Back to the story.
So, an orientation was held for the guards the day before the experiment. And it's basically just to tell them no physical harm should be put on the prisoners.
Okay.
You can't withhold food or drink.
Don't beat the shit out of them. Don't starve
them. Yeah, don't beat them. Don't starve them. And then Zimbardo's shown in real footage telling the guards, quote, "You can create the prisoners' feelings of boredom and sense of fear to some degree. You can create a notion of arbitrariness and that their life is totally controlled by us.
Mm.
And that they'll have no privacy. We're going to take away their individuality in various ways. In general, what all this leads to is a sense of powerlessness."
Okay.
Yeah. There's more to it, but I just kind of cut some of that off. Oh my god. That was not the ghost. That's Jackie crazy.
Continue.
The guards were provided wooden batons to establish their status and uniforms similar to those of a correctional officer, okay, as well as some badass aviators.
Use the batons.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just kind of be scary.
Yeah. So look at me. I got this thing.
Yeah, I'm going to whack it on my hand when you're out of the line.
Yeah. Get in line.
Yeah, I'm going to hang it. Like,
hit myself with it. So can't hit you.
Yeah, they also got some pretty badass aviator sunglasses because you have to have those.
And some stashes.
Yeah. So now the prison's all set up. We need some fucking prisoners, right?
Okay.
Yep. Okay, so on Sunday, August 14th, in Palo Alto, California. Yay area! I put it in my notes.
Yay as could be.
I was waiting for you to say
it. Yay area!
We're stupid. Police cars swept through the town, picking up college students in violation of Penal Code 211 and 549, armed robbery and burglary. So they tried to make it as legit as possible. Each subject was arrested, handcuffed. I think they were also blindfolded. I'm not quite sure. Just to make it seem like they were like, where the fuck am I going? They were put in the back of a cop car with sirens. And then they took them to the station, a.k.a. the fake prison.
Okay.
The subject was brought inside, formally booked. They had all their personal properties removed, and they were stripped naked and given a prison uniform. And, dude, these uniforms. The uniforms consisted of, like, a super plain dress muumuu-looking thing.
A muumuu?
No underwear underneath it.
Oh, wow.
And then they were just their prison number. They also had to wear, like, this little tiny nylon cap that was made out of, like, real nylons. And this was done to emasculate the subjects and for them to lose a sense of individuality. They were worn.
You're in a muumuu.
Yeah.
You got no underwear.
You got no underwear.
You're wearing a nylon.
You're basically wearing a dress.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of fucked up. You're all naked with all these strangers. It fucking sucks. Yeah. So they were read their Miranda rights, all that fucking shit. They were even fingerprinted, which I think is like interesting. And then they were taken to a holding cell, blindfolded, and left in there. Shit. I lost my spot. Sorry, I'm getting there. Sorry, guys.
It's okay. We can, when we learn to edit, we can take it out.
We still don't know what we're doing. So, I told you that their uniforms had their identification numbers on them. Mm-hmm. That's literally the only way that they were identified, was by their identification number. And they could only refer to their own cells by their identification number.
Oh, that's weird.
I know. It's crazy. Three guards would work the night shift. And it was like 8 hours each. Guards were instructed to do whatever they thought was necessary to maintain law and order in the prison and to command the respect of the prisoners. Again, no physical violence was permitted.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It didn't take much for each group, prisoner and guard, to pretty much embrace their roles. It was like obviously way more easier for the prison guards.
Mm-hmm.
They were all fucking about it. Let's see. Within hours of beginning the experiment, some guards began to harass the prisoners. At 2:30 a.m., prisoners were awakened from sleep by blasting whistles for the first of many counts. And the counts, basically, they line them up on the fucking wall, and they make them say their prisoner number one by one, over and over and over again, until it was, like, to the guard's satisfaction.
Wow.
And it was, like, basically, like, driving these prisoners crazy. And it was, like, one of the many examples of how they exercised control over the prisoners.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking crazy. They did a lot of psychological torture towards the prisoners. The prisoners were taunted with insults and, like, petty orders, were given pointless and boring tasks to accomplish, and they were generally dehumanized. And, like, the Hollywood movie, they really fucked with them. I don't remember if it was real or not, but there was, like, this one guy that wouldn't eat, like, his sausage or something. And they put him in, like, the jokey. Yeah, for hella hours.
Sausage is good.
He didn't want to eat his nasty burnt sausage.
Was it burnt?
It looked kind of gross.
Was it really burnt?
I don't know. It was part of the Hollywood movie.
I mean, it's probably pretty good.
It was, could have been better than nothing, I guess.
Better than jokey.
It's true.
Should have ate that sausage.
Yeah, and they would punish
them.
Unless
it wasn't real sausage.
Yeah, what if it was like little cat turds?
Okay. Or it was his sausage.
Ew. You ready for your cock meat sandwich?
I'll take the chokey.
That's so good. They also punished them by using push-ups as a form of physical punishment. Yeah, but they even were stepping on their backs.
Oh.
And they'd have other prisoners sit on the backs of them while they're doing push-ups.
Crossing some lines.
Right? No physical harm. Right? And I put on your bunch of dicks. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Eat your sausage.
I mean, don't make me do all the push-ups while you sit on my back. And then the prisoners started to, like, adopt prisoner-like behavior. They talked about prisoner issues a great deal. And then they told tales on each other to the guards. Which is interesting.
Hmm.
They started taking the prisoner roles very seriously. Like, they were in real jail, which is crazy. As though they were, like...
Because it sucked.
Yeah, it fucking sucked.
And they're like, we're only getting $92 for this treatment.
$15 a day.
Yeah, but it's like to them, to us.
In 2 days, you only made $30.
Yeah.
You can get a lot to talk about.
You eat your sausage.
Yeah.
It's like negative. You're in the negative, Dallas.
You negative. Yeah. Some of these prisoners started siding with the prison guards, too. Because some of the prisoners that didn't comply got everybody in trouble.
Little snitches. I know a couple fucking snitches.
Oh, my God. We're tired.
Snitches.
So during the second day of their experiment, the prisoners removed their stocking caps, ripped off their numbers, and barricaded themselves inside the cell by putting their beds against the doors. Anarchy!
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck that. I'm doing that shit too.
How are you going to know who we are now?
Yeah, how are you going to know if I'm a motherfucking sausages, bitch?
Am I supposed to be in room one or room three? You'll never know.
Well, they locked him in there with the numbers on, so they should know.
They ripped the numbers
on. They can't get out. They're locked in.
They can't figure it out. They're dumb.
They're not real prisoners, but technically they are.
Yeah.
You think about it. So the guards, of course, called reinforcements in.
Backup.
Yeah. They called in some backup, which was just like the other guards that just came back.
They were like at home eating pizza. And they were like
eating fucking Kraft mac and cheese. They're like, son of a bitch.
I love it.
It's not good when it's leftover.
It's a never good leftover.
But here's a fun trick. Just pour some butter in it and heat it back up with a little bit of cheese.
Here's a fun trick. Put a pack of bacon in it.
You can put a pack, like a whole pack. So the guards, of course, retaliated by using they used a fucking fire extinguisher, which I guess is super fucking cold. They forced the prisoners away from the door, and the guards broke into each cell, stripped the prisoners naked, butt-ass naked, and took the beds out. So, like, all the prisoners...
Like, oh, you want to rebel?
Mm-hmm.
You got nothing now, yeah, bitches.
Exactly. Eventually, the ones that didn't participate in this little stunt got their clothes back, but the other ones still had to sit there naked. Yeah. Let's see. So during the next few days, the prisoners become more dependent and the guards just continue to treat them like shit. Less than 36 hours into the experiment, prisoner number 8612 began suffering from acute emotional disturbance. Disorganized thinking.
He's having a panic attack.
Just like how I just talked.
Yeah,
controllable crying and rage. After a meeting with the guards, we should just cut all of this out.
We can figure that out.
After a meeting with the guards, they told him he was weak, but offered him informant status. 612 returned to the other prisoners and said, "You can't leave. You can't quit."
Because so, he signed, right?
Well, you signed a contract, but they literally just wouldn't let them leave. They were, like, true prisoners. And I think it got into the heads of, like, the people in the psychology department. Because they were like, you can't leave, bro. I'm signing a contract.
Damn.
Basically.
You are a prisoner.
But then it kind of got into their head. They're like, I want to see a doctor. Yeah, it was pretty fucking bad. So after 8612 began to act crazy, to scream, to curse, he went into, like, a rage and was, like, super out of control. It wasn't until this point that psychologists realized that they had to let him go. So, finally, they're like, okay, bye.
Yeah.
Gots to go. Get on out of here.
Gots to go.
Yeah. And then Zimbardo eventually invited a Catholic priest who had been a prison chaplain to evaluate how realistic their prison situation was.
Realistic.
No shit. So half the prisoners introduce themselves by their number rather than their name, which is
only
14
days, huh?
Well,
how many days in was this?
I think this was very early on.
Day one.
Well, day two, 8612 had to go home.
Yeah.
The chaplain interviewed each prisoner individually, and the priest told them the only way they would get out was with the help of a lawyer. So it was, like, kind of getting into their head. It's all, like, psychological bullshit.
Like, what did we do?
Yeah, they're like, what are we doing wrong?
Here now.
How do I get out of here? They're like, well, son, you know, unfortunately, You're going to have to get a fucking lawyer.
Yeah, get you out of your contract.
Yeah. So this priest was talking to number 819. Mm-hmm. And 819 broke down. And he was, like, hysterical and was crying. And the psychologist removed the chain from his foot, the cap off his head, and told him to go and rest in a room that was, like, across the prison yard. And then he was like, we'll get you some food. We'll let you talk to a doctor. While this was going on, though, the guards had lined up all the prisoners and had them chant aloud. And it said, they would say, prisoner number 819 is a bad prisoner. Because of what prisoner 819 did, my cell is a mess, Mr. Correctional Officer. They had to say it over and over and over again. And by the way, they had to address the prison guards as Mr. Correctional Officer. Wow. Anytime they addressed them. It's crazy. So during all that, like, number 819 could hear the whole fucking thing. All of it. It was nuts. So a psychologist tried to get him to, like, chill the fuck out. So Zimbardo would go. He went and he talked to 819 and had to remind him, like, yo, this is not a real prison. Yeah. I am not a superintendent of a prison.
You're going to get out eventually.
Yeah. By the way, this is your real fucking name. It's not 819. Wow. Yeah. It's fucked. The guards started thinking they were real guards. The prisoners started to feel like real prisoners. Mm-hmm. It kind of got a little crazy. So the experiment was intended to last 2 weeks. How long do you think it lasted?
7 days.
On the sixth day, it was terminated.
Yeah.
Yeah. Christina Maslach, I think that's how you say it.
Maslach?
A recent Stanford PhD was brought to conduct interviews of the guards and prisoners. She didn't like what she saw.
No.
She was not happy because she could see the prisoners being abused by the guards. It was very, very wrong. And so Zimbardo in 2008, remember, this was from the 70s. 2008, he said, I quote, it wasn't until much later that I realized how far into my prison role I was at that point, that I was thinking that, like, a prison superintendent rather than a research psychologist.
Wow.
Yeah. And the conclusion of the experiment is basically that people will conform to the roles that they are expected to play, especially if those roles are highly stereotyped. And some of the experiment's findings have been called into question. The experiment has been criticized for unscientific method and possible fraud, which is nuts. Because people still, like, use this. Clearly, I learned it in my psychology class.
Yeah.
It's been maintained by Dr. Philip Zimbardo that the experiment has no long-term harm on the participants. However, one out of the 24 initial participants who had suffered a breakdown within 36 hours of starting, later went on to become a prison psychologist.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which is kind of cool. But clearly it affected him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he worked, he did that for like 14 years.
Yeah.
But it's like, that fucking affected him, bro. Yeah. And so I guess, like, this was funded by the U.S. Office of Naval Reserve, and they just wanted to see the difficulties between guards and prisoners.
Well, there's a lot of difficulties.
I know. And a lot of it was filmed. And I watched the documentary in high school. And if you thought this was interesting, you should probably watch the documentary. Because I thought it was, like, I don't know. I think it's kind of cool. You should watch it. You could watch the Hollywood movie, too. It's on Netflix.
Yeah.
It's all right. But, yeah. So
look for their mustaches.
Look for their mustaches. That's the Stanford Prison Experiment. I try to do it justice. It's a lot of information. I missed probably a ton of stuff, but watch the fucking documentary, bitch. What? Let's hear it.
My story time.
Yo, story.
Guys, my story time. Okay, so mine's taking it back again. Like, I do a lot.
But like, how bad?
We trade off, kind
of. Yeah, usually we do, like, something modern, something old. Yeah,
so this is from 1622.
Oh, my God, is it real?
Way, way back. Okay. My story is about an actor, and his name is Jean-Baptiste Paquin, but actually he changed it to Molière, so it's like...
Molière.
Molière.
Is it Molière or Molière?
Molière.
It's French?
Yes. And he changes his name later.
Fancy.
So he was born in Paris,
Wee wee.
January 15th, 1622. His family called him Linnaeus.
What is it?
Linnaeus. Does that sound pretty?
It's cute.
Guess what it means?
Butthole.
Big nose.
Oh, that's what they would call me.
They called him Big Nose.
Oh, that's what they called me. This is triggering.
Anyways, trigger warning. When he was 11, he lost his mom. He had to move with his dad, who he didn't really like that much. They didn't get along a whole lot. But his dad was really focused on school. So he put Molière, or Jean, he's Jean now, into some really nice schools. They put him into a prestigious college, the Claremont. He was studying...
It's a hotel now.
I know. He was studying to be either a lawyer or... some people say, like, it was thought that he would be in office. But anyways, this is where he first got a taste of life on the stage. But he decided to give up all the fucking lawyer stuff, all the career dreams of office, and...
Go to college, people. Stay in school. I didn't. He just wicked
wanted,
me now.
He wanted to be on the stage.
Well, you know.
So... this is where things get fucked up. This was that crossroad he took that was like, what would have happened if it went the other way? So he joined a group with three other people. They ended up renting a stage.
It was like an improv group?
It was like a lady friend he had, probably like a lover, but they don't say.
Lady friend.
Yeah, her sister and another friend or like a relative. And anyways, they all acted together. They bought this huge stage. He paid a lot of money up front and was supposed to keep up with the payments. Well, 3 months in, they went bankrupt.
Dude, 3 months?
3 months.
What did they spend their money on?
They fucking spent it on the stage and didn't have an audience.
Oh my God.
So historians are unsure how Jean or Molière paid his debt. But he did end up spending 24 hours in jail after this.
Because he was fucking dick on the street.
We don't know. We don't know.
Jack, shut up.
Anyways, it's after this he decides to change his name to Molière. Probably because his dad was super embarrassed of him. Aww. Because he wanted him to be like an office or a lawyer or whatever and not a fucking actor. But he changes his name to Molière. Things start going really well. He eventually is known as a French playwright. He's an actor. He's a poet. He was said to be one of the greatest writers in the French language.
Wow. And
they actually translated they translated his plays into every major living language.
Now I want to see it.
Things are going great.
Yeah.
But then, 1673, he plays a hypochondriac.
He plays one?
Yeah, he plays one. That's his role.
Oh, okay.
The play was called The Imaginary Invalid. So, during this play, Molière collapses on stage in a fit of coughing and hemorrhaging.
Uh-oh.
This is while he's performing.
I like how this is going.
He didn't stop. He insisted that he needed to complete the performance. This decision...
Dedication.
...would take a poor turn.
Oh, no.
He collapsed. He had another large hemorrhage. Now the stage is full of blood.
Real blood.
Real blood. He's actually hemorrhaging.
Oh, my God.
He's playing a guy that is faking an illness while he really has one.
Oh, my God.
So at this point, he accepts help. He accepts help. Where does he go? He wants to go home.
Molière.
So
what are you doing?
They take him home. He wants a priest to perform his last rites because he knows
that I was going to say an exorcism. He wants a priest to get the devil out of him.
Well, that would be nice, too.
Yeah.
So, two of the priests refuse.
Wait, what?
They don't want to go.
They're like, nah.
They don't say why. But
I'm in the middle of dinner.
Yeah.
My wife made a pot roast.
I got things going on. Don't want to go.
She made these special potatoes. I don't want to go.
The third priest decides, yeah, I'll come.
I guess.
But he's too late.
He already died.
Molière died. It turns out that 24-hour stay in prison, Molière got tuberculosis.
Oh, fuck, so those coughs were real.
So, those coughs were real. He had TB, and they didn't cure TB
until... coughed up TB all over the fucking stage, yeah. Dude.
So who knows how many people got
it. I had a fucking high school teacher that had TB.
Really?
Yeah, how can you teach high school and have TB? Oh, my God, he's possessed. The dog's possessed, you guys. He's the star of the show this time because he's fucking nuts.
He definitely is. So anyways, so he got TB from that 24-hour stay in jail that he had.
That's
from that one day. From that one life decision.
So it doesn't say why he was in jail.
They don't know why he was in jail. He paid off his debt.
Fucking dick on the street trying to make up money.
I don't know if people launder money then or if they don't know what to call it, but somehow he had a lump sum of money and he paid off his debt.
I guess drugs weren't really a thing back then. It's not like you could just do a Walter White.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't like a thing.
Yeah.
That's a bummer for him.
So anyways, he knew he was dying. So that's why he just accepted it on the stage and was just
like, he's like, I'm dying, everybody.
He was.
They all clapped and everything.
He was a legend after this. People were, at first, they're like, is he acting? And then.
Oh my God, coming in hot.
When the blood started coming, they're like, oh, this is real. So his bad luck continues a little bit after he dies still.
After he dies?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
So because.
How did he get out?
Okay, so like I said, his bad luck continues after he dies. So actors were not allowed to be buried on sacred ground.
I love how we just went right into it and didn't discuss the dog debacle that just went down.
The dog just knocked the couch over, jumped on my other dog.
Bowser screamed like a girl.
I think he was possessed.
Yeah, from the ghost. Sure. From the
ghost. I was trying to like pick it right up. So that I know. It was like,
they're going to be like, what was that scream?
Or I was just going to try to delete it.
Keep going.
But anyway, so actors were not allowed to be buried on sacred ground.
Actors?
They weren't.
Hate motherfuckers.
Nobody liked actors. They all hated them.
That's so rude.
And now they're fucking millionaires, so booyah, all you people from the fucking like 1600s.
Like us peasants. Yeah. So, booyah to you guys.
Molière's widow asked permission that he be buried in the cemetery. And they were like, sure, you can bury him in the part of the cemetery that's reserved for unbaptized infants.
So like the baby?
Yeah, his body rests as the only single adult in a cemetery full of unbaptized infants.
Oh, those poor babies. Yeah.
So that's the story of Molière and the way his life changed after he decided to become an actor and fuck everything up.
Poor Molière.
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 Big nose.
Wee wee big nose.
It's time for Lime Wedges.
You like your song?
So I got Lime Wedge.
Yeah.
Shut up.
You shut up. I said, yeah, go for it, you dickhead.
My Lime Wedge is, I'm stalling to think of one, buying a bunch of shit at Michael's.
And?
It was 70% off.
What else did you buy?
A wedding dress.
Dun, 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 dun. That's the wrong song.
Don't worry, guys. I bought one, and then I returned it, and I bought another. So it's not only my Lime Wedge, but also my poor decision.
No, I thought that the dress you got was beautiful the first time, but this one is even more beautiful. So I'm very excited.
I got a dress.
She got a dress.
Lime Wedge.
I'm going to piggyback off of yours.
Go.
So... you guys might not know this, strangers, even though we don't have any. About a year ago, Alicia, she had to have her noggin melon bald.
I got melon bald.
Yeah. And this week, or maybe we missed it, I don't even know.
We might have missed it.
Is her tumiversary.
It's my tumiversary.
Alicia had a tumor. They took it out of her brain. And that was a year ago. And now we're trying on wedding dresses. Yeah. And it's very exciting.
So if you guys ever think I sound stupid.
They took the smart part out of the brain.
They took it right out of there.
It wasn't a humor
Sarah
tumor.
I saw it.
Yeah, it looked like a little squishy ball.
They used the melon baller
to
get the grocery store.
I watched it. I was like eating Junior Mints know, above.
With popcorn.
I might have dropped a Junior Mint in the hole.
While I was NPO and I wasn't allowed to eat.
Yeah.
Just eating hella candy. It's like
just
a jerk.
Watching. Like Kramer dropping Junior Mints in holes.
But anyway, it's my tumiversary.
Your tumor. How you feeling? How you good? You good?
I got an MRI today.
Yeah, I'm sure it's fine.
It wasn't that enjoyable. They poked me.
Yeah.
And then after, she's like, ooh, there's a problem with the
with your brain.
With the magnet here. And I was like, If I have to do it again.
No, I swear to fucking God.
Real, real
We're going to fight everybody.
We're going to fight. But yeah. I guess I'll do it again.
Yeah, so congratulations on your tumiversary.
Tumiversary.
It was very crazy week that one time when you got your brain melon-balled. But look at you now. Trying on wedding dresses.
I'm kicking.
Planning a wedding.
Planning a wedding.
Living fucking life, bitches.
Buying centerpieces at Michael's.
Yeah.
For 70% off.
Look at you go. Okay, guys. Well, we appreciate you listening to us, even though it was kind of probably a long one because my story was very long.
So this is our outro. And now we're out, yo.
No. That was good. Who are you?
I'm a poet, just like Molière.
You're very inspired.
Yeah.
But don't forget to fucking email us at makingpoordecisionspod@gmail.com and to follow us on IG at makingpoordecisionspod.
Shout out to Tab.
Yeah.
For being our emailer.
Yeah.
Also, be my bridesmaid.
This is your formal invite.
This is your formal invite. I don't have a date, and I don't have any details yet.
But,
be my bridesmaid.
And now we know if you're listening or not, yeah. Joke's on you.
Yeah, if you're listening, we'll fucking know.
And we'll find you. Okay, bye.
Intro.
Cheese.
Cheese. Cheese. Cheese. Cheese. Cheese.